Satisfaction, confusion, anger. NASCAR is hearing it all after announcing the results of its investigation into the February crash that killed legendary stock car driver Dale Earnhardt. NASCAR officials had hoped yesterday's nationally televised news conference would bring an end to the grief and controversy surrounding Earnhardt's death, but while providing some answers, the investigation appears to have generated just as many questions. NPR's Tom Goldman reports.
It's an understatement to say NASCAR officials have been quiet since Dale Earnhardt died 6 months ago at the Daytona Speedway. Conspiracy theorists will have you believe NASCAR has been covering up something. Those who know the history of the family-run stock car business simply attribute the silence to NASCAR's way of doing things, at its own pace, by its own rules. But with prominence comes public accountability, and with a fat new national TV contract completing NASCAR's journey from backwoods bootleggers to corporate sports giant, NASCAR President Mike Helton chose to end the silence yesterday at a news conference in Atlanta.
While we may have fallen short at times in our communications, it's my strong belief that we have been responsible in the area of safety. And we'll continue to approach this with the firm belief that even in a sport where danger is inherent, any single death or serious injury is one too many.
The investigation into Earnhardt's death was the most comprehensive in NASCAR's history. It reportedly cost more than $1 million and involved scores of medical and engineering experts. But with all that, the results still didn't reveal a smoking gun, a single reason for Earnhardt's fatal skull fracture. Dr. James Radden was one of the lead investigators.
There were multiple events, each of which provided factors which contributed or potentially contributed to the injury.
Those factors, Dr. Radden said, included Earnhardt's car hitting the speedway wall at a critical angle at roughly 160 miles per hour, Earnhardt's collision a blink of an eye earlier with another driver, and most controversial, a seatbelt that broke on impact and might have led to a blow to the head which started the skull fracture. This finding contradicts an earlier independent investigation that concluded the broken seatbelt did not contribute to Earnhardt's death, which allegedly was caused by a violent head whip. Some believe NASCAR has promoted the seatbelt theory from the beginning as a way to cover up the organization's negligence when it comes to head and neck safety for drivers. NASCAR recommends drivers use head and neck restraint devices, but still doesn't require usage. It's just one of the investigation's shortcomings, says Tim Franklin, editor of the Orlando Sentinel newspaper.
When are they going to make design and structural changes to the car that would help in front-end collisions? When are they going to mandate head and neck restraint systems, one of which Jeff Gordon said saved his life in a crash in July?
NASCAR President Mike Helton continues to say NASCAR will not react just for the sake of reacting. Safety advances will happen after thorough study and testing. But he did announce a couple of changes that are being praised. Next year, stock cars will carry so-called black boxes to record crash data, and a full-time NASCAR medical coordinator will work with local doctors and hospitals. Tom Goldman, NPR News.